Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster, which, as I've told you many times, can be delivered to your door. All you have to do is contact these folks by an email at chapel@mountzion.org. They do have a phone number, 850-438-6666. That's the Free Grace Broadcaster, delivered to your door, free, every 3 months. And every 3 months, the quarterly will have a different subject. The subject this time around is communion with God, and the article we're reading today was written by Thomas Brooks, being an English nonconformist Puritan preacher who lived at 1608 to 1680, thirsting and longing is the name of the article. My advice and counsel is this. In all your closet prayers, thirst and long after communion with God. In all your private retirements, take up in nothing below fellowship with God. In nothing below a sweet and spiritual enjoyment of God. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 27:4. The temple of the Lord, without communion with the Lord of the temple, will not satisfy David's soul. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The heart, H-A-R-T, as Aristotle and others observe, is of all creatures most hot and dry of itself, but especially when it is chased and hunted. Then it is extremely thirsty. By this, David discovers what a vehement and inflamed thirst there was in his soul after communion with God. As nothing could satisfy the hunted heart but the water brooks, so nothing could satisfy his soul but the enjoyments of God. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. That's Psalm 43:4. The altar of God is here put for the worship of God. Now, it is not barely the worship of God, but communion with God in his worship that was David's exceeding joy. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Psalm 63:1-2. David's soul did not thirst after a crown, a kingdom, or any worldly greatness or glory, but after a choice and sweet enjoyment of God in his wilderness estate. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Psalm 84:2. I commend that speech of Bernard. I never come to thee but by thee. I never come from thee without thee. Whenever you go into your closets, your prayer closet, press hard after real and sensible communion with God, so that you may come out of your closets with some shine of God upon your spirits, as Moses came down from the mount with his face shining. Oh, do not take up in your closet prayers, tears, joys, or enlargements, but labor and long to enjoy that inward and close fellowship with God in your closets, as may leave such a choice and sweet savor of God, both upon your hearts and lives, as others may be forced to say, surely these have been with Jesus. It is sad when Christians return from their closets to their shops, their trades, their families, their commerce, and so on, without the least visible rays of divine glory upon them. Oh, sirs, closet prayer will be found to be but a dry, sapless, lifeless, heartless, comfortless thing, if you do not enjoy communion with God in it. Communion with God is the very life, soul, and crown of all your closet duties. Therefore, press after it, as for life. When you go into your closets, let everything go that may hinder your fruition of Christ, and let everything be embraced that makes way for your enjoyment of Christ. Oh, let closet prayer be a golden bridge, a chariot to convey your souls over to God and to bring you into a more intimate communion with God. Let no closet duty satisfy you or content you wherein you have not conversed with God, as a child converses with his father, or as a wife converses with her husband, or as a friend converses with his friend, even face to face. Nothing speaks out more unsoundness, falseness, and baseness of heart than this, when men make duty the purpose of prayer. The prayer, the purpose of prayer, or the duty, the purpose of duty, than when men can begin a duty, go on in a duty, close up a duty, and bless and stroke themselves after a duty, and yet never enjoy the least communion with God in the duty. Question, but how shall a man know when he has a real communion with God in a duty or no? This is a very noble and necessary question, and accordingly it calls for a clear and satisfactory answer. And therefore, thus, first, a man may have communion with God in sorrow and tears when he hath not communion with God in joy and delight. Psalm 51. A man may have communion with God in a heart-humbling, a heart-melting, and a heart-abasing way when he hath not communion with God in a heart-reviving, a heart-cheering, and a heart-comforting way. It is a very great mistake among many tender-spirited Christians to think that they have no communion with God in their closets unless they meet with God embracing and kissing, cheering, and comforting up their souls. When they find God raising the springs of joy and comfort in their souls, when they find God speaking peace unto them, when they find the singular, sensible presence of God cheering, refreshing, and enlarging of them in their closets, oh, then they're willing to grant that they've had sweet communion with God in their closets. But if God meets with them in their closets and only breaks their heart for sin and from sin, if he meets with them and only makes his power and his presence manifest in debasing and casting down of their souls upon the sight and sense of their strong corruptions and many imperfections, how unwilling are they to believe that they have had any communion with God? Well, friends, remember this once for all, namely that a Christian may have as real communion with God in a heart-humbling way as he can have in a heart-comforting way. A Christian may have as choice communion with God when his eyes are full of tears as he can have when his heart is full of joy. Sometimes God meets with a poor Christian in his closet and exceedingly breaks him and humbles him. At other times he meets with the same Christian in his closet and mightily cheers him and comforts him. Sometimes God meets with a poor soul in his closet, and there he sweetly quiets him and stills him. At other times he meets with that same soul in his closet and greatly revives and quickens him. God doth not always come upon the soul one way. He doth not always come in at one and the same door. We sometimes look for a friend to come in at the front door, And then he comes in at the back door. And other times when we look for him at the back door, then he's coming in at the front door. So it is with God's coming into his people's souls. Sometimes they go into their closets and look that God will come into the front door of joy and comfort, and then God comes in at the back door of sorrow and grief. At other times when they look that God would come in at the back door of humiliation, breaking and melting their hearts, then God comes in at the front door of joy and consolation, cheering and rejoicing their souls. But secondly, I answer that all Christians do not enjoy a like communion with God in their closet. Some enjoy much communion with God. Others enjoy but little. Moses had a more clear, glorious, and constant communion with God in his days than any others had in those times wherein he lived. God spake to none face to face, as he did to Moses. And Abraham, in his time, had a more close, friendly, and intimate communion with God than holy Lot or any others had in that day. And though all the disciples, Judas excepted, had sweet communion with Christ in the days of his flesh, yet Peter and James and John had a more clear choice and full communion with him than the rest had. Among all the disciples, John had most bosom communion with Christ. He was the greatest favorite in Christ's court. He leaned on Christ's bosom. He could say anything to Christ. He could know anything of Christ. And he could have anything of Christ. Now, that all Christians do not enjoy communion with God in the same way in their closets may be made evident first that all Christians do not prepare alike to enjoy the closet communion with God. Therefore, all Christians do not enjoy communion with God the same. Commonly, he that prepares and fits himself most for that communion is the man that enjoys it the most. Secondly, all Christians do not prize communion with God in their closets. Some prize this before all and above all other things. As the noble Marquis said, "Cursed be he that prefers all the world to 1 hour's communion with God." They look upon it as that pearl of price, for the enjoyment of which they're ready to sell all and part with all. Others prize it at a lower rate, and so they enjoy less of it than those that set a higher price and value upon it. And third, all Christians do not alike press after communion with God in their closets. Some press after communion as a condemned man presses after a pardon, as a prisoner presses after enlargement of freedom, or as a poor beggar presses after alms. Now, you know these press on with the greatest earnestness, the greatest fervency, and the greatest importunity imaginable, but others press after communion with God more coldly, more carelessly, more slightly, more lazily. Now, they that press hardest after communion with God in their closets, they are usually blessed with the highest degree of closet communion. Fourthly, all Christians don't alike improve, that is, use to one's profit, make effective use of, improve their communion with God. Therefore, all Christians don't enjoy the same way. Some Christians do make a wiser, humbler, holier, more faithful, more fruitful, and more constant improvement than others. Therefore, they are blessed with higher degrees of communion with God than others. Some Christians improve their communion with God against the world, the flesh, and the devil than others do. And therefore, no wonder if they do enjoy it the more than others do. Fifthly, all Christians don't need communion with God in their closet in the same way. Therefore, all Christians don't have the same. All Christians have not a like place in the mystical body of Christ. Some rule, others are ruled. Now, every man stands in more or less need of communion with God according to the place that he bears in the body. Again, all Christians have not alike burdens to bear, nor alike difficulties to encounter, nor alike dangers to escape, nor alike temptations to wrestle with, nor alike passions and corruptions to mortify, or the same mercies and experiences to improve. And so all Christians don't need the same communion in their clauses. Now, commonly God lets himself out more or less in ways of communion according to the various necessities and conditions of his people. And sixth and last, all Christians do not alike meet with outward interruptions nor inward interruptions. And so all Christians do not have that same communion with God. Some Christians meet with a world of outward and inward interruptions more than others do. Some Christians' outward callings, relations, conditions, and stations afford more plentiful matter and occasions to interrupt them in their closet communion than others. Besides, Satan is busier with some Christians than he is with others. Corruptions work more strongly and violently and in some Christians than they do in others. And let me add this to all the rest. The very natural tempers of some Christians are more averse to closet duties than the natural tempers of other Christians are. And so, all Christians have not the same communion with God in their closets, but some have more, some have less, according as God, in his infinite wisdom, sees best. Now, let no Christian say that he has no communion with God in this way because he has not such a full, such a choice, such a sweet, such a sensible, and such a constant communion with God in closet prayer, as such and such saints have had, as such and such saints now have. For all saints do not alike enjoy communion with God in this way. Some have more, some have less, some have higher, some lower. Some are wrapped up to the third heaven, others are just wrapped up to the clouds. Now, the lowly Christian is the most amiable and the loveliest Christian. When a man can come out of his closet and cry out with Augustine, "I hate that which I am. I love and desire that which I am not. O wretched man that I am, and in whom the cross of Christ has not yet eaten out the poisonous and the bitter taste of that first tree." Or as another said, "Lord, I see, and yet I'm blind. I will, and yet I rebel. I hate, and yet I love. I follow, and yet I fall. I press forward, yet I faint. I wrestle, yet I halt." And then he may be confident that he has had communion with God in his closet. He that comes off from closet duties in a self-debasing way and in laying of himself low at the foot of God certainly has had communion with God. But when men come out of their closets with their hearts swelled and lifted up, as the hearts of the Pharisees were, it's evident no communion. God has not been near to their souls, who say, "Stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou." Isaiah 65:5. Well, it just ends right there. That's not the end of the book or the whole work, but a portion of it. It's from the Privy Key of Heaven, for those who want to go further with it. The Privy Key of Heaven. It's in the Complete Works of Thomas Brooks, Volume 2. It's in the public domain, and you should be able to find it, I would think. Thomas Brooks, our blessing today. Thank you for coming along, and please understand that we have so many other great men of God, their works and their words on this site. Do go looking for them. And a whole bunch of other things I hope you will find. And don't forget that a new blog was born recently about Christian child abuse, a growing problem among us. Go to www.criesfromamongus.com and see what I'm talking about. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.